Open your Bibles now to the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 33 in your Schofield Reference Bible. That's on page 255. Beginning with the 24th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 29. Deuteronomy 33, verses 24 through 29, page 255. We'll read the verses responsively. Let's stand, as is our custom. The text verses are the first two verses we'll be reading. And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread down their high places." Let's pray. And Father, thou dost have a work to do in my heart. Thou dost have a work to do within the heart of each and every person here. And it's, of course, more than important that we listen. We pray for thy Spirit's power in our acceptance of thy word, the hearing of it and the doing of it. And, of course, we pray for thy power for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me read for you, without your turning to it again, two of the verses that you read a while ago. And as I read, would you listen carefully, because this is an unusual thing that happened. And of Asher, he said, let Asher... Now, let me say that Asher was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were... Jacob had 12 sons, and from those sons came the 12 tribes of Israel, different peoples of Israel, if you would please. And one of his sons was named Asher, which means that one of the 12 tribes of Israel was named Asher. And it says here, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him, I get this, let him dip his foot in oil. Moses is talking. Moses is dying here. On his deathbed, he blesses the 12 tribes of Israel. Look right this way. He blesses the 12 tribes of Israel. And he gives to one this blessing and to another. And then he said, I want all the people in Asher to dip their feet in oil. And then it says, verse 25 says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days be, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The title of my sermon tonight is both that and also the text, that little line, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Our Heavenly Father, thou hast brought us once again to this place to open thy word and take a portion of it and speak from it and instruct the people concerning it. And I pray we'll never forget this little story tucked away timidly in the Old Testament. The story of Moses' blessing of Asher, the tribe of Asher. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me carefully. Moses is on his deathbed. He pronounces a blessing upon each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each of these 12 tribes has been given a piece of the promised land, and they will inhabit that, and these tribes live like the tribe of Naphtali has one portion of the promised land, and the tribe of Dan has a portion of the promised land, and all the tribes. And then he comes to Asher, and he says something very interesting. He says, let the people dip their feet in oil. Now, let's suppose that I divided this group tonight up into these into sections. And I said, this section over here, I pronounced a blessing on you, and this section over here, a blessing and a blessing here. Suppose I got to you folks right here and said, now I want you to dip your feet in oil. Now, that would be the most unusual request. Anybody here dipped your feet in oil today? Would you raise your hand, please? All right. Would you like to dip your feet in oil tonight? Would you raise your hand, please? All right. So that's an unusual request. Now, listen carefully. Don't miss it. God said to Asher, I want you people to dip your feet in oil. That isn't all he said. He said, also, I'm going to make you wear shoes like nobody else wears. He says your shoes are going to be iron and brass. Now, I can imagine trying to put a pair of brass shoes on these ladies here. I'll guarantee you a lady that lives in my house would never put a pair of iron shoes on, I'll let her assure. I wouldn't let her, because when she kicks me, it'd hurt too much. But I'm saying that I know women. I've got a wife and three daughters, and I know women. And not a woman here. If your husband brought you home and said, honey, I got something for you, and you open it up, box about that long, and you reach down and say, oh, it's a pair of shoes, but you can't pick it up. And you open it, and it's a pair of shoes. And he says, how do you like it? And you said, they're lovely, lovely. How would you feel if you had to wear iron shoes and shoes of brass? Now, wait a minute. Don't leave me. God said through Moses, I want you to dip your feet in oil, and I want you to wear shoes. Now, we're talking about thousands of people. There may have been 3.5 million Jews or Israelites that got to the Promised Land. Now, you divide 12 into 3.5 million, you have exactly a lot. And I don't know what you got, but it's a heap of them, I'll tell you for sure. We're talking about tens of thousands of people wearing shoes of iron. I sometimes go up to Holland, Michigan, and see those wooden shoes up there. I don't understand how anybody could ever have worn those wooden shoes, but they'd be comfortable compared to shoes of iron and shoes of brass. So he said, he comes to Asher. Moses is dying, and he comes to Asher, and he says these two things. He says, let the people dip their feet in oil. And then he says, let these people of Asher, not all the Israelites, just the people of Asher, let them wear shoes of iron and brass. Now, they didn't know why. And I'm sure they said, good night. Why should we have to wear shoes of iron and brass? Naphtali wears normal shoes, and the tribe of Dan wears normal shoes, and the tribe of Levi wears normal shoes, and all the other 11 tribes wear normal shoes. Why, in the name of common sense, do we have to wear shoes of brass and shoes of iron after having dipped our feet in oil? And all that, they looked funny. They were not the latest thing from Paris. They were not Christian Dior or I don't know of any others. Tom McCann, that's the ones I know. I got down to your level, didn't I? That's all I know. But these are not designer shoes. These are shoes of iron. I have a sneaking suspicion that some of the other tribes sort of looked at them and laughed at them when they saw the shoes. And some of these ladies said to the others, where did you get those? We got them from Moses. He got them from God. You like those? No, I don't like them. And they probably were somewhat of a spectacle because of wearing the shoes of iron and brass. But now, wait a minute. They soon found out. They soon found out why they had to dip their feet in oil and why they had to wear shoes of iron and brass. Let me tell you how they found out. Because God had told them what land they had to inhabit. And as they marched to that land, they looked sort of funny because no one else had those shoes, and they no doubt complained. But in Joshua chapter 3, they were allocated their portion of land in the Promised Land. And as they marched to that land, suddenly a serpent struck at one of the feet of one of the people. But the serpent didn't bite the person. Why? He had on shoes of brass and of iron. Don't you see? God knew that they were going to a land of a wilderness that was no doubt inhabited by many serpents. And God, who looked down and saw the future, God said, I want to give you shoes of iron and brass. And the first time I was out in Colorado Springs, Colorado, preaching this past summer, and preached in the church. Walked in the afternoon, we had a meeting of pastors, and I had question and answer time. And after I'd finished answering the questions, I went out to my car. I walked that far from a rattlesnake. That far. Rattlesnake. I'm not talking about a Democrat mayor. I'm talking about a real rattlesnake. And I walked that far. That's pretty funny, wasn't it? But anyway, I didn't see it. I didn't know it was there. And the pastor walked behind me. And that thing was curled up just like that. And, I mean, ready to go. And he struck at the pastor. And didn't get his leg. He got his pants leg. And his pants died just like that. But that was funny too, wasn't it? But he got his pants. But listen. You know, I wanted some cowboy boots. I mean, but there was a big vacant lot. It was up on top of a mountain, and this church, beautiful for situation. And I tell you what, the big vacant lot, and the rattlesnakes crawl across because it was hot, and they like to get their stomachs on the hot pavement, and they crawled across, and there they were. And this last year, I was there again, and I made them carry me everywhere I went. I'll tell you, when I went to the parking lot, I'll tell you what, I was very, very careful. And by the way, I think the day after I was there, they found another one. Next year I'm going back in January. I'm not going to go in the summertime anymore. But some people do wear cowboy boots because it's a little tough for a serpent to bite through a cowboy boot. But about the first time that a serpent reached out and struck and hit the shoe of iron or a shoe of brass. Ah, these folks all of a sudden thought those were the latest things. They were thankful they had those. Now, they thought at first when they were given the shoes of iron and brass, no doubt they thought this is ridiculous. But listen, nothing is ridiculous when God gives it to you. Because God was preparing them for the inevitable of the uniqueness of the land that they had to conquer and they had to inhabit. That isn't all. Their land was a mountainous land. And as they walked up that land and as they walked on those stony terrain and walked on those rocks, rocky places, have an idea, they said, we sure are glad we have these shoes of brass. Because ordinary shoes would not be able to give us protection from the rocky trip we have. This is no Judean wilderness. This is no Jericho, a beauty spot or vacation spot like Jericho. This is no tropical place like the Valley of Jordan. This is no desert like the deserts of Moab. We're walking up a great mountainous place, and the tribe of Asher inhabited that great mountainous place, and the people, God knew it. They did not know. They had never been to their place, assigned place yet, but God knew it, and God was getting them ready. Now, there are things in your life that you don't understand, just like they didn't understand these shoes of brass and iron, and there are uncomfortable things in your life you don't understand. And there are puzzling things that have happened to you that you don't understand. But brother, if God has given them to you, God is preparing you for something out in the future. So you just trust Him, as they did. They didn't understand these shoes of brass and shoes of iron, but they put the shoes of brass on because the God who told them to wear them, that God knew what He was talking about. You see, God is called sometimes in the Bible a high tower. And that means He's up. He's like every Monday morning I fly out of O'Hare Field. I was thinking this week I go Monday and Thursday. I'll be flying to Pasco, Washington tomorrow and preaching there. Then I'll be flying to Jacksonville, Florida and preaching in Orange Park on Thursday and Friday. And I leave O'Hare Field.
Now, out there in O'Hare Field, all airports, they've got this big tower. And these men look out, and they control these planes on the ground. Now, God is called our high tower. God can see your journey. God knows what you're going to do a year from now. You sit with the house, I don't understand the circumstances of my life. You don't have to understand them. If God gave them to you, you'll find out one day there was a purpose for those circumstances in your life. I was thinking about these men on the platform a while ago. Roy Moffitt here. One of our fine assistant pastors. Well, one of our assistant pastors. Roy Moffitt works with the buses in Hammond, East Chicago. All the Calumet region works with buses. Over 2,000 folks came on buses this morning from the Calumet region on our A buses. That's Hammond and East Chicago and the Calumet area, Calumet region. Now, Roy Moffitt was not a theologian as a young man. Roy Moffitt worked in the steel mills over in East Chicago, Indiana Harbor, I guess. In the steel mills, Indiana Harbor. And I'm sure as a young man, he wondered, now, what am I doing over here? He knows why now. He knows why he was there. He was placed there because God wanted him to know this area. And God wanted him to feel the compassion for those men that work in the steel mills and the undesirable circumstances of the blast furnaces. And so when God put Roy Moffitt over there in the steel mill, he did the same thing as he did when he gave the tribe of Asher shoes of iron and shoes of brass. Because there was something that God had for Roy to do later on as an assistant pastor here of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And he could not have identified with the people in the Calumet region as well as he can had he not been a steel mill worker years and years ago. I think of John Colston. John Colston, a graduate of Ball State University. But John Colston came to the area. He was a caseworker with the welfare department. And he's the one that took your kids away from you. And we're stoning him after the service tonight. But you folks right here can use your shoes of iron to do it and shoes of brass. But no, John Colston spends his life now visiting the sick, the hospitals, the bereaved. He's the one in the church who lives with a heart of compassion for those who suffer. Now, John Colston did not know. When he went to work with the welfare department and as a caseworker, he did not know that God was getting him ready for the ministry here he has at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I think of Dr. Evans, a farm boy from Iowa. Now, what in the world was God doing making Dr. Evans a farm boy from Iowa? Well, God knew that in that body, in that head there, was a brain that was intellectual. And God knew that someday that boy was going to get his Ph.D. degree. And God knew that boy should not have a head that's too big for his hat. And so God put him as a farm boy. And brother, when you milk cows and you swap the pigs and you plow the farm and you gather the crop, all of your pride is taken away from you. And God made him a farm boy. Why? So he could identify with these hundreds of students as president of Howells Anderson College. Hey, don't shrink back because of the circumstances that you face. If you don't know why they're happening, God knows why they're happening. God is preparing you for something, as he did these people when he gave them shoes of iron and brass. I think of Dr. Jorgensen up here. Dr. Jorgensen went to Princeton University. He's vice president of our college. He went to Princeton University. He led the football team there. He tells a testimony. He led the football team there in sacks. He ate 35 sacks of popcorn at one football game alone. Now, why did God plan? Now, personally, I would rather Dr. Jorgensen to have his degree from Fundamental Christian College. But God wanted to disarm the critics of Howells Anderson College. And so God had a little fellow in Princeton University getting his degree. Why? Getting him ready to come to Howells Anderson College and disarm the critics. I think about Dr. Cowling sitting back there right now. Ph.D. from Georgia Tech, science. Wonder why Dr. Cowling had that happen to him. Well, he had it happen to him because there's no Howells Anderson College back in those days. But I'm simply saying, why? Because God needed somebody to have a bus route in this area and go out and love little boys and girls and love poor people who has a Ph.D. from a great university somewhere in America. I'm simply saying, as you look back in your life, You can see circumstances that happened to you as you were younger or as you were growing up. You can see circumstances that happened to you that prepared you for what you're doing now and what you're facing right now. It may be the devil. Maybe you have some serpents you've got to tread, and you need shoes of iron and brass. Maybe you have some rocky roads that you have to travel, and you need shoes of iron and brass, and you need to dip your feet in oil, which is a symbol, of course, of the Holy Spirit of God. I think of Ray Young. Headed up ministry this morning, brought over 9,000 people to Sunday school on buses. How many buses run today? 140. How many did you run today? About 35. 175 buses covered this area all the way from New York City to Los Angeles today. And now Ray Young. I'm sure Ray Young wondered, he was a child, why he was a bus kid. Why couldn't he ride to Sunday school in a car like everybody else? Why did his mom and dad sit beside him in church like everybody else's did? Why was he a bus kid? I tell you why. God was giving him shoes of iron and shoes of brass so he could have compassion on this great multitude of ghetto-bound young people in this great area who need somebody to love them and somebody to care. God was getting him ready, just like he was the tribe of Asher. They did not know they had a mountainous place to climb. They did not know they had serpents to battle. They did not know they had rocky places on which to travel. But God knew it. And God knows what you've got to do. And quit pricking at kicking at the pricks as Paul did. And quit saying, God's not treating me right. God is doing what He's doing to you so He can use you someday uniquely for His purpose and for His cause. Ed Lapina, our youth director. Grew up in our church. Family came here and he was 5 years of age. What was God doing? God wanted Ed Lapina to grow up as a young person here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. Why? So he could identify with the teenagers here. Don't you see what I'm saying? I mean, Keith McKinney, that's why he spent 10 years in the penitentiary. That's why he was on dope for 35 years. So he identified with those rescue mission men. No, he did not spend 10 years in the penitentiary. He got out on good behavior after 5. Now, as you look back in your life, can't you see the same thing? Hey, how many of you tonight can look back in your life and there are some things that happened to you, you couldn't understand them then, and you said, I can't comprehend why this is happening to me. But as life progressed and the days unfolded, you found out the reason, and you can see that those things back yonder that may have seemed uncomfortable to you, like these shoes of iron and brass, all of a sudden you can look back and you can see that God was preparing you for something in your life. Raise your hand. My hand is the first one up. Sure. All right, now look. If that be the case in the past, then quit complaining about the discomfort in the present. Haven't you learned from the past that those things of discomfort, like your shoes of iron and your shoes of brass, that you wondered why you had to wear until you traveled through the serpentine area, or you traveled through the rocky places, or you climbed the stony hill. And if you in the past can look back and see why God did what He did, then why don't you accept what God has done to you now? Because those troubles you're going through, those heartaches, and those burdens you have to bear, God has something for you to do. He put you in a certain place to get you ready for some rocky places. A certain friend came into your life. Or a certain pastor came into your life not long before some heartache happened. God put you in a certain church to get you ready for a trial. God put you under a certain pastor so that pastor could prepare you for a burden that you have in your life. You heard a sermon, and that sermon prepared you. Or you had a trial, and that trial prepared you. Or some other incident happened that prepared you for the rocky places and for the serpents that would attack you. Or maybe something happened you couldn't understand. One day, my sister, see there? My sister in the choir, was looking for a job. Now, she didn't know, she had taken any kind of a job. She had experience as a bartender and things like that, but she was looking for a job. Now, what kind of job did she find? My sister happened to find a job as a bookkeeper or in a bookkeeping department. And she began to learn bookkeeping. Now, I wonder why God didn't give her a job that day in some other area, a private secretary maybe. I wonder why it was in a bookkeeping department. So she learned bookkeeping. Tell you exactly why. God wanted her to be bursar of Howells Anderson College someday. And now for all these 19 years of our college existence, she's been the bookkeeper, head of the bookkeeping department at Howells Anderson College. Don't you see? That day she walked down the street looking for a job. That day she looked at the classified section. That day she saw one little ad wanted somebody to work at Intercontinental Airplane Company. She goes to see. She applies. What opening do you have in the bookkeeping department? And so I can recall when she began to learn about bookkeeping. Now, see, she did not know then that God had a place for her in the best Christian college in the world. She did not know that someday there'd be a college in Crown Point, Indiana, and that she was being prepared to be its bookkeeper or its bursar and head of the bookkeeping department. She did not know that. Tomorrow, God willing, this time tomorrow night, I'll be preaching in Pasco, Washington. Great big old hunk of a man out there named Dallas Dobson. One of the greatest guys you ever met in your life. Just as rugged as can be. I was preaching out there the first time years ago. I go every year. And he has the largest attendance of any church west of the Rocky Mountains. I was preaching out there one time, and I said, folks, I used an illustration about a pastor can't do everything. I said, for example, suppose that you had heard of me, and tonight you came early, and you wanted to see what I looked like, because you heard of Dr. Jack Hiles. And suppose that suddenly I drove up on a motorcycle, had on my goggles, my helmet, my leather jacket, my sweatshirt, tight denim pants, and boots. I said, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? Everybody began to laugh. They died laughing. I couldn't understand it. I checked, see, I burped on myself or something. And I died laughing. They died laughing. I understand it. After it's over, the pastor told me. He said, Brother Hiles, I drive a motorcycle everywhere I go. He said, I ride a motorcycle hospital visiting. He said, come with me. He took me out to the parking lot. He said, there's my staff parking lot. 12 motorcycles lined up beside each other. 12 of them. Secretaries ride motorcycles to church, to work. Can you imagine Miss Colston on a motorcycle? Both tires go poof. But wait a minute. Do you know how the largest church west of the Mississippi River started? Dallas Dobson was a state trooper in the state, I think, of Mississippi. He finished college, decided to start a church in Seattle, Washington. He resigned his job as state trooper. He took off with all he had, his family and all he had, to go to Seattle. He got to Pasco, Washington, and ran out of gas, and ran out of money. He had to stop there. He said, well, I think I'll just build a church here instead of going to Seattle. And he stopped right there. Now, I'm simply to say, the circumstances look so unusual. But he stopped. Why did he run out of gas in Pasco? Because God wanted him to build a church in Pasco. Listen, every one of you tonight that has a burden, there's a reason for that burden. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I wondered why my daddy left my mother and me alone. I wondered why I had no daddy. I was at a place out in the woods praying just yesterday. And I saw a man and two little children, a boy and a girl, must have been 4, 5, 6 years of age. I saw them drive up and get out. I think I knew who they were. I didn't know their names. I think I could tell. I think that was a father who had his children for a while, because I've seen it so much. And I think that his wife gave him, he had visiting privileges, and he had Saturday afternoon maybe with his children. After a while, those children would be taken home, and the mother would be there, and the daddy will leave, and they'll wonder why daddy has to leave. I identified with that. For I, too, when I was a boy, had to leave my house and meet my daddy around the corner and talk to my daddy a few minutes at a time and wonder why he didn't come back. Now, why did God put me? And I wondered then, but I know now. No, exactly, because these young uns over here, these bus kids, they have broken homes. Many of them don't know who their daddies are. God was preparing a boy in Texas, in the ghettos of southwest Dallas, to come to Hammond someday, in the great Chicago area, who will have a heart of compassion and love for these poor young people who are steeped in poverty and wonder why they can't have normal homes and why their mommy and daddy don't come to church like everybody else. I did not know then. I know now. Bless God. Those were my shoes of iron and shoes of brass. I was thinking, I wonder why. I used to wonder this. Mrs. Howes and I got married. We were too young. I was 7, she was 4. But the first place we lived, are you ready? Was a kitchen. It was a mud hut. First place we lived was one room, a bedroom. Had no kitchen. No way to eat, get anything to eat. They had pecan trees in the backyard. We'd go out and pick up pecans, eat those pecans. Listen, you ought to be crying. This is heart-searching, heart-rending. We had no car. For 3 years, we had no car. And everybody here doesn't have to have a car. But we had no car. We walked to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's about a mile. One Wednesday night, it was raining cats and dogs. I mean, big cats and big dogs. I'm talking about Doberman. It was raining. And Ms. Hiles and I decided not to go to church. Only time in these many years we've missed Wednesday night service, all these years. We went to sleep. Stayed home. Went to sleep. About 3 o'clock in the morning, we heard a noise. The bed had busted. No, it wasn't because of my size. I was thin then. I was a puny-looking, sickly-looking fellow like the mayor. My mother looked at him. She'd say, McDermott, you got to fleshen up some. But all of a sudden, the bed broke. 3 o'clock in the morning, both of us sound asleep, bed broke. Miss Howells was laying across over here in the corner. Had a blanket around her head. Looked like Saddam Hussein. I rolled over the other side of the room. There I was, the quilt, dressed in a quilt. She looked at me, I looked at her, and we said, let's go next Wednesday night. That's the first place we ever lived. No kitchen. Hey, the second place, would you like to know? The second place we lived. One room, 6 by 12. Did you hear me? 6 by 12. One room. But we had a kitchen that we shared with 8 other couples. Had a hallway down the middle. Had 9 rooms. On the right back here, a little dining room and a kitchen. And we had to share that kitchen with 9 other couples. Hey, that isn't near as bad. We had a bathroom we had to share with 9 other couples. That's a problem. I mean, that's where we lived. You Howells Anderson College folks, you think you've got it rough. 9 by 12, one room. One room. That's the second place. Third place we live, 2 rooms. No refrigerator. No sink. Miss Howells washed our clothes in the bathtub and wrung them out by hand. Well, and took them downstairs, upstairs apartment. Downstairs, hung them up on the line. And 2 rooms, wood stove, kerosene lamp. That's the third place. Fourth place, attic apartment. Fellowship with rats all the time. Fifth, 3-room apartment. Fifth place we live. Slept on the floor and walked 8 blocks to my mother's house to eat breakfast. And 8 blocks back. Same distance back it was there. I like to stop and tell you those things along the way. Every meal we ate, we slept on the floor. Had a mattress on the floor. Slept on the floor. Walked 8 blocks for every meal we ate to my mother's place and back. Next place we lived. 3-bedroom apartment. Hey, had its own private bath. Hey, had a sink. Hey, had a refrigerator. Boy, it was high class. $37.50 a month. I came home the first night. My wife was crying. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Looky here." She pulled back the cover, opened the mattress. Lined with bed bugs. Lined. They called them cooties. Used to call them, didn't they? Cooties. Yeah. Lined with cooties. Bed bugs. Next place, our first parsonage. Bedroom was so weak, two people couldn't be in that back bedroom at the same time. No way. If one person walked, it'd sway and shake. But if we both walked, it'd fall in. Two people couldn't be back at the same time. We moved in that house. We stayed there about 3 years. When we moved in, there's a rat on the back porch. Big thing. I mean, real big rascal. Big thing. We put a mouse trap back, rat trap back there. He sent us a thank you note. He thought it was a gift. We put rat poison back there. He gained a pound. He told us goodbye when we left. Now you say, "Brother Hiles, what are you saying?" I'm saying we had it tough. We live in a lovely home now, but it hasn't always been that way. I just told you the first seven places we lived. Now why? Tell you exactly why. So we could identify with these college students who live under similar circumstances right now. Those were our shoes of brass. Those were our shoes of iron. Now, ladies and gentlemen, life does not always give us what we think we deserve. And life does not always give us what we want. But God always gives us what we need to get us ready for tomorrow. There's no way that we could identify with the Howells Anderson College people if we had lived in luxury when we were young. There's no way I could identify with these bus kids if I had not lived in poverty as a boy. Those are my shoes of iron and shoes of brass and feet dipped in oil. Now, what are your shoes of iron tonight? What is it that you're jumping back from and complaining about because it does not give you the luxury and the convenience that you wish you had? And you say, "God is not..." Oh, yes, God is good. Well, I'm sure when the child of Asher, when these ladies put on these shoes of iron and shoes of brass after having dipped their feet in oil, I'm sure they said, "This is not fair. Look at those pretty shoes that the tribe of Dan's wearing. Look at those nice shoes that the tribe of Naphtali is wearing. Look at those nice shoes the tribe of Levi is wearing." But God knew where they had to travel, and God saw the serpents, and God saw the rocks, and God saw the mountains, and God said, "I know what's best for you." Now, wait a minute. If you can look back and see the past, what happened in the past, then why in the name of common sense can't you trust that same God that has revealed to you since you first wore those old shoes of iron and brass why you had them? Why can't you trust that same God that there's a reason why you're wearing shoes of iron and brass tonight? God is placing shoes on your feet suitable for your journey. And God is allowing circumstances in your life to prepare you for the journey that you have to travel in life. Now, they may seem strange, but trust Him. You'll see one of these days. I do not know what your burden is, but I know you have one. I don't know what your heartache is, but I know you have one. I don't know what makes you at night, toss and tumble through the night, but I know you do. I don't know what it is that causes you when you wake up in the morning to wish it were all a dream, to find it's not a dream, it's real. But I know many of you do that every morning. I do not know the thing that makes you weep when you're alone and you try to straighten yourself up and control yourself before you get with anybody. I don't know what it is. But I know that hundreds of people in this room tonight, in this great crowd of people, there are hundreds of you tonight in this room, and maybe several thousand of you in this room tonight who are wondering why you're facing what you're facing. What are your shoes of iron? What are your shoes of brass? What are they? Don't shrink from them. Look up to God and say, "You know what's best." The tribe of Asher could look to Him and say, "God, we don't understand this oil on our feet when no other feet have to be bathed in oil. We cannot comprehend why these shoes of brass and shoes of iron are on our feet when real nice, maybe designer shoes on the feet of the other feet of the other tribes. Understand it. But they did. They did. My mother wondered when her mother died when she was in the third grade, 9 years old. And she had to quit school in the third grade. She wondered why she had to wear those shoes of iron and brass. She wondered when they had their first baby, just a 19-year-old girl, first baby. It was afflicted, never walked, never talked. Laid in bed, spastic like that, never said mother, never said daddy, never patted mother on the cheek, never walked a step, never said a word. My mother sat beside that bed and tended to her for 7 years. My mother wondered why these shoes of iron and brass I have to wear. After 7 years, little Lorraine went to heaven. And my mother and father followed that hearse to Babyland and placed that little body in a casket and wondered why these shoes of iron and brass. And my mother wondered when she had her second child, Hazel, and she died when she was 7 with the after effects of the measles and died in mother's arms. She said, Mommy, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus. And she died in my mother's arms. And they took that little 7-year-old body and placed it beside the other little girl who died when she was 7 in Babyland in a cemetery outside north of Italy, Texas, near Dallas, 40 miles south of Dallas. And my mother wondered why these shoes of iron and why these shoes of brass. And then my mother wondered, they had a little store there, a little neighborhood store. I was up in Manistique, Michigan the other day. They live like America used to live. I saw neighborhood stores. I mean the kind used to go in and order a nickel's worth of cheese and a slice of bologna and just a little neighborhood. And my mother and dad owned one of those neighborhood stores. But the Depression came and they lost it, lost all of it, everything. And my mother wondered why her mother died when she was 9. She had no school after the third grade. She had to be a mother for her 2 brothers and her sister and be a housekeeper and a cook. Why are these shoes of brass and shoes of iron? Why are these shoes of brass and iron of a little girl afflicted? Why are these shoes of brass and iron of a little girl who died at 7? Why are these shoes of brass and iron of a second little girl who died at 7? Why are these shoes and brass of iron of losing their little store? Why are these shoes of brass and iron of my dad turning to alcohol, becoming an alcoholic? Why are these shoes of brass and iron where my mother had to work to make a living and keep some food in this body and some clothes on this body and shelter of some kind over this head? Why? Why? Many times I've sat with her in that little place over there on 167th Street in Calumet City. And my mother said, Son, I know why. Had a preacher boy to rear. Had a preacher boy I needed to rear. God was preparing me for it. Those were her shoes of iron and shoes of brass. What are yours? What are yours tonight? Don't complain about them. Don't gripe. Don't shrink from them. Put them on. Well, I don't understand it. Neither did the tribe of Asher. I can't comprehend why I'm going through what I'm going through. Neither did the tribe of Asher. Until that first serpent shot out and could not pierce the shoes of iron and brass. Until that first rocky road they had to travel. And it could not cause them their feet to be hurt because they were bathed in oil. And they had on shoes of iron and brass. Take it. Look it square in the eye and take it. There's a reason for it. And you'll find out in due time. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that this little truth from this wonderful book shall lodge in the hearts of hundreds of people in this room tonight.